Hello, how is everybody? All right, well, I wanted to give you guys a quick update on the Dominican Republic. I talked to Doug today, and it was a pretty quick message. I assume he was probably pretty busy. When you go on trips down there, it is an incredibly busy time of your life. But he said that there were 65 kids at the first day of Vacation Bible School. Yesterday, five people gave their hearts to the Lord. He also commented that it looks like that they may get some rain tonight. I asked him specifically if everybody was healthy, and he said yes. If you've been on a missions trip down there, that's a big thing to pray for people, because they can get sick pretty quick from the food down there. So I think we should pray for them before we start, and I'll kind of pray for our message too, and then we'll get started. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for our time together as a body. Lord, we thank you that we get to share our lives with each other. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us the privilege of knowing you, Lord, and being together, Lord. And we do pray for the team and the DR, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would strengthen them, Lord, that you would encourage them and use them, Lord, as they are ministering to the community. And I just pray that you would just keep everybody healthy, Lord, that you would fill them with boldness to share the truth, Lord, and that they would just continue to serve you, Lord. We pray you give them strength, and that, Lord, you give them sleep at night and electricity to enjoy the fans at night as well, Lord. And so we just rejoice in this time, Lord. We ask you to speak to our hearts, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, so you guys can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as we begin tonight. And before I really get into the text, as you guys are turning there, I am going to do just a little bit of background information as to what was happening in this portion of the Bible. The focus of our study tonight is going to be eternity. It's a reality that you, I, and every human in the world are going to live forever. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11 states that God has put eternity in our hearts. So we all know we're going to live forever. It's a fact of life. Tonight, most of this message is being spoken to those who have put their faith in Jesus. It focuses on our eternity, the eternity that we have with Jesus. But it's also written to those that don't know the Lord. The message will hopefully speak to people's hearts that may not know Jesus, that they could be encouraged to make a decision to follow him. And you know, if you're not a believer in Jesus, then the eternity that we speak of as believers is not available to you. It's only available when we put our faith in Jesus. So I do hope that people will consider your life, that you will consider where you stand with Jesus and whether you should put your faith in him or not. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. And I'm just going to read this whole portion and talk about it just a little bit. It says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested also in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." So this treasure that we have in our lives is a prized possession. It's ours in Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. It's amazing that the gospel, the most amazing thing in all the world, is contained within the good news of Jesus and what he accomplished for us on the cross. Eternal life, forgiveness, being right with God, the very Spirit of God is found inside of these bodies of ours. As imperfect as they can be, God chose to allow himself to be placed in these fragile, finite bodies. Why did he do that? Well, the verses say it's to show that this power is from God and not it's not us. It's not about us. And it's to cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So he uses us for his glory. As believers, Jesus said in John 6:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." It's difficult, but it's true that everywhere we turn as believers, we are hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, or struck down. I love that Paul reminds us that even though we go through hard times, we will not be crushed. We will not live in despair. We are not forsaken, and we are not destroyed. We carry with us the knowledge of Jesus' death, and we learn from the sufferings that he endured. At the same time, we carry about with us the glory of knowing that Jesus conquered death and that one day we will too. You and I know that one day we will raise victorious over death as well, unless the Lord returns and takes us before that. So keeping that in mind, let's look at verse 16, the first verse tonight. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day." So because of what Paul has told us in the previous chapters in 2 Corinthians, we don't lose heart. We have a hope in Jesus. We have a victory that is waiting for us in Jesus. Our hearts are not overwhelmed by the difficulties of this world. We find our strength in the Lord. We find our victory in the Lord. And even though this world presses against us and attempts to crush us, we don't lose hope. Because we know that even though outwardly we're wasting away, God continually reminds us that we are renewed in him each day. It is true that outwardly you and I are wasting away. It's pretty evident that as we get older, things aren't getting better. I'm not going to be growing any new hair anytime soon. It's unfortunate, but it's a fact of life. There comes a certain point where you just have to accept it. Science says that by the time you are 25 to 30 years old, that your physical capabilities begin to decline. That's sad news for most of us. The other thing I've noticed is that our metabolism slows down significantly. When I was in high school, I could eat anything and everything, and then I hit about 20, and that slowed down. So I'm still trying to learn that one. But even though everything on the outside is kind of wasting away, is declining, on the inside of our lives, the Word says we're renewed each day. So our inner being, my spiritual well-being, my spiritual strength should be renewed each day. As I set my eyes on him, as I spend time with him, as I read the word daily, he renews me. And he does that for all of us believers. And I think that's awesome. I mean, I remember who I was before I was a believer. I had zero hope. I had no ambition in life. And it's just amazing that after giving my heart to Jesus, how things have changed. And how he does renew us each day and gives us hope. Even though we have difficulties and, you know, trials that we go through, the Lord renews us. I also think that it's sad that there are many people that are missing out on being renewed each day. I would ask a question, when was the last time that you truly felt God's presence in your life? When is the last time that you were filled with joy? And your inner person felt renewed in the Lord, truly renewed, like you felt like you were connected with the Lord. And I know that God wants to fill us each day with his Spirit. He desires to renew us. We just have to take the time to be with him. Our relationship with God must be a priority. And I would suspect that in a room this size, that there are some of you guys that are truly struggling in life. I know that people have faced sickness and family situations and unexpected deaths in families, and some of us are truly hurting. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord wants to meet you guys, that he wants to fill you and encourage you, And if you'll just turn to him and just cry out to him, he'll come to you and he'll minister to you. And I think that many times we just kind of go through the motions of life and we just miss out on just connecting with the Lord and enjoying that renewal in our lives. Look at verse 17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So it's interesting to me that Paul is saying that we have light afflictions that only last for a moment. If you read chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, Paul was facing a very difficult situation. He was in despair almost, to the point where he knew that things were getting really difficult. If you look at Paul's timeline at this point in his life when he wrote this, he had already been stoned and left for dead in Acts chapter 14. That does not seem like a light or momentary problem for me. That's not anything I faced, and it's not anything I would want to face, but Paul went through some really tough times. But Paul has the right perspective. He knew that through all of life's challenges, that God was achieving an eternal glory in his life. Not that Paul would get the glory, but that Jesus would get the glory. So Paul was a man that was constantly focused on eternity. I believe it's one of the ways that he was able to stay so strong in his life, because he had his eyes fixed on the prize. He knew that even though the world rejected him, even though he had lost his position among the Jews, and the world had beaten him and caused him all kinds of problems, that there was an eternity that was waiting for him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, Paul explains this perspective that you and I should have too, as we live for Christ. He says, "Do you not run that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So Paul declares that as believers, we should have like a laser beam focus on our eternity and the prize that waits for us. We don't sway to the right. We don't sway to the left. No matter what happens, no matter what we may be going through, our focus has got to be on our eternity, on the victory that is waiting for us. We should live our lives that we might gain every bit of the victory that God has for us. There's always more land to be taken as Christians. We can always fight for more of what God has promised us, and it's a process in our lives. So we shouldn't settle for just having victory in a few select spots of our lives. Christ should have victory in everything, and he wants us to have victory in everything. So we should continue to pursue that. We are not living for a trophy that looks great one day. How many of you guys got trophies when you were kids? Raise your hand. We all got them, right? Most of us did. Yeah, they collected dust. They didn't do anything for our eternity. You and I are living for an imperishable, eternal crown, a crown that's going to last forever. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21 said this, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." So we need to ask ourselves, do I have that kind of an attitude that is focused on eternity, that is focused on serving Jesus each day? Do I have that attitude? Am I making my life count for eternal things, or am I distracted with the things of this world? Am I disciplined in my faith? Am I living with a heart whose treasure is in this world, or a heart that has treasure in the coming world? Look at verse 18. It says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So we know that God is working for us, that he's working an eternal glory through our lives. and that our future eternity far outweighs the temporary pain and suffering of this world. We don't fix our eyes on what is seen, but on what is not seen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12 puts it this way. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. When life is done, we can take nothing with us. It's all going to burn away. The temporary physical world we live in will not last. When you do Bible studies, you end up looking at weird things on Google. I looked up what people were buried with, what they wanted to take with them. Some of the items included a person that was buried in their Ferrari. Cell phones were placed in caskets. They don't want to miss texts or phone calls. There was a man that loved Burger King so much, he was buried with Whopper Juniors. The marketing director of Doritos, when he died, his casket was sprinkled with Doritos. And one of the Hell's Angels leaders died and was buried, and his buddies couldn't stand the fact that he didn't have his motorcycle with him, so they dug up the grave and buried the motorcycle. There was even a man that was buried in his Lazy Boy with a checkerboard on his lap. So if anyone wants to play a game of checkers, maybe you can look that one up. It's a sad thing, but many of us really don't think about eternity all that much. Oftentimes our only focus is, how can I accomplish the next great thing in this world? How can I provide more comfort for myself and my family? How can I have a bigger house? How can I fix my personal problems? And I think we should ask ourselves, what about eternity? As believers in Christ, our focus should not be on the things of this world, but on that which is unseen, on that which is eternal. In every situation we face in life, we should view it through our spiritual eyes and not our physical ones. I'm going to have a video clip be shown here. Pastor Francis Chan. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not, but he gives an excellent illustration about eternity. So the guys are going to play that real quick.
The world's going to keep making you look at your past. And we got to keep looking at the future. You look at your past, you're going to get depressed. And you're going to get stuck in your past. You look to your future and go, man, what is that moment going to be like? See, my actions, a lot of the things I do is because I'm thinking about my future. And I'm thinking about that moment when I see Jesus, because I realize that everything I do is going to bring either reward or regret. It really is. I've got an extra $1,000. Okay, on that day, that future, when I see Jesus, what is going to bring reward and what's going to bring regret? I could buy a lot of fun things for myself with that $1,000, but on that day, Paul's saying, I'm just looking at that day, going on that day, maybe I just give it to the poor, because on that day, I'll be rewarded for it, versus, yeah, I mean, we've all bought things we regret, right? You go, oh, that was a waste of money, that's a waste of money, that's a waste of money. Think about what we're going to say at the end, when we stand before God. Are you going to regret the car you drove, regret the house you lived in, regret the clothes you wore, regret, you know, just everything? What are you going to regret? What about your time and how you spent it? Are you going to go, oh, I'm so glad I watched 7,000 movies. Or are you going to regret, wow, I wasted all of that time now. It's about the future. Paul's going, man, what am I going to look forward to at the end? I'm going to bring an illustration that, this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper? When it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off. Remember that? I remember getting a roll, and some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me, but because that was the best, you know? And it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor, and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about what about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're gonna do that right now just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges, and he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it, and I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
So that's a fantastic illustration. A good illustration if you ever do evangelism too. You can, in the Dominican Republic, I used a stick a lot. I didn't have ropes, but I would use a stick that had like a little knot in it or something just to show people and to help them to think about eternity. So I think that's a good thing for us to think about. Look at chapter 5, verse 1 as we continue on here. You guys ready? Okay. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you know that one day we're coming to a time that we will be moving on from these old bodies. For us who are in Christ, death is not something that we need to fear. It's not something we need to worry about. We're simply moving on to our new, upgraded bodies, eternal in the heavens. Paul uses the idea of our bodies being a tent. Tents are not something that are permanent. It gives the idea of a temporary residence. Tents can fall apart very easily over time. When the wind blows, they can fall over at inconvenient times. How many of you guys have went to go grab the little plastic pegs that you have to put in the ground, and you're hitting the last one you have, and it snaps in half, and now you have to figure something out? Things break on tents. They don't last. So you can even find rain in your tent sometimes in the middle of the night or something like that. Tents are also mobile, so you can pick them up and move them. And I think that's how Jesus wants us to be, is to be usable, movable, able to be moved by the Lord. We should be ready to move as the Savior wants to meet us. And that's how we should view ourselves, that we're simply passing through this life on our way to our eternal home. God has something far better for us in store, far better than anything we could ever experience in this life. So our eternal life is likened to receiving a building, is what the verse says. And, you know, you think of a tent to a building, that's a pretty big upgrade. You know, you've got something that's permanent and more protective. So I'm looking forward to receiving a new body one day. I cannot imagine what our bodies will be able to do in heaven. I know it won't be constricted by the laws of this world as ours are now. It will not get old. It will not hurt. You know, the benefits are incredible to think about. You know, all the things you struggle with in this physical body will be gone in our eternal ones. We all know Pastor Chuck Smith. He was the instrument that God used to kind of begin the Calvary Chapel movement. There was a pastor that pretty soon after he died wrote this about him. He said, "What a joy it is to contemplate even now that Chuck is realizing what he shared in one of his Bible studies. Quoting 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, he read, 'We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.'" And he commented, "One of these days, should the Lord tarry, you no doubt will pick up your paper and read, 'Chuck Smith died last night. The pastor of Calvary Chapel, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.'" Chuck said, "Don't believe it. That's a bad report. If they're going to tell the truth, they're going to have to say, 'Chuck moved last night out of his decrepit old tent with holes and leaking and into a beautiful new mansion.'" I love what Jesus said in John 14, verses 1 to 3. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So we love the promise that God has for us, that he's making that place for us. And we're looking forward to it one day. Look at verses 2 to 4. It says, "In this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. We who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." Not every day, maybe not even every week, but oftentimes I daydream about that day that I will get to be with the Lord. I look forward to the time when this world passes away and I get to step into that eternity. This life is hard. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to stand for the truth when the world around us is so full of hatred towards truth. And I know that there are many of you guys that when we see the news, when we see the things that happen from both sides, both political parties, when we see the things our friends and family have to go through, when we see what's happening in this world, our hearts just groan. Like, we want the Lord to come back. We want to be in our eternal home. And I can't wait for that day. We feel naked. We know in our hearts that, man, something's missing. Something's not right. And we know that before we become saved, too. Now we found what it is, but before you're saved, there's like something's missing. You know, you're not clothed. So I look forward to the day that we as believers will unite together. How many of you guys have had the privilege of going to like a pastor's conference before, or a pastor's wife's conference, or like just to be able to get away? If you ever get the opportunity, I really encourage you. One of the things that probably has struck me the most in the ones that I've been to is when you pack 1,000 guys into this old gym in Northeast Maryland, and these guys are just belting out to the Lord and singing to the Lord. And it's just an amazing thing to kind of remove yourself for a second and look at what's going on around you and how people are worshiping the Lord. And you think about, man, what is eternity going to be like when we're surrounded by, I don't know how many millions of people will be there, but man, that's going to be incredible. So we look forward to that day. Look at verse 5. It says, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." So God is the one that has prepared us for this. It's not something we can do on our own. God created us, remember, with eternity in our hearts, and he desires to spend it with us. Not only has God given us his word, his promise that one day we have eternity to look forward to with him, that one day we're going to leave behind these old bodies, but God gave us a guarantee, a deposit, by giving us the Holy Spirit. The moment we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of us, dwells inside of us. At that moment, we're given new life. We're born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And the Spirit is a deposit of what's coming one day. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14 puts it this way. It says, "In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." And 2 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22 says this, "He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." That's a pretty cool guarantee, you know, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He chooses to dwell inside of believers. So maybe today you've never asked Jesus into your life. Maybe you're sitting here and as you think about eternity, you don't have peace. I would encourage you that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And the Bible is very clear that if we recognize our sin and we place our faith in what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross, taking our sin upon himself, that we will be saved. And as you put your faith in the Lord, as you make that choice to follow him, that's when everything changes. And you don't have to be afraid anymore because your eternity is secure in Jesus. So the Spirit of God is a deposit in our lives that guarantees what will come. Verses 6 to 8. "We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." This verse really reminded me of Paul and what he said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 to 26. He said, "To me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." So Paul thought about these things in his life. He thought about eternity. He was focused on eternity. And he said, man, it is so much better to depart and be with the Lord than to stay here. But at the same time, he knew that he was on this planet for a reason, that God had a purpose for him. God had a mission for Paul to complete, and Paul knew that for the time being, God wanted him here in this world, not for his own well-being, but that others might be ministered to through him. So Paul was not focused on himself. When he wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was in jail, suffering for his faith. But he didn't bring attention to himself. When you read Philippians, he doesn't say, man, don't you guys remember how hard it is in jail and how I'm suffering and how difficult this is? He doesn't bring attention to himself. He instead looked to the Lord and wanted to be used by the Lord. And I think it's really easy to become self-focused as we pass through this life. I'm guilty of it myself. I start to focus on my problems and my difficulties, and I miss out on the fact that it may be that God's allowing me to suffer that I might minister to somebody else. I'm sure that some of you that have faced some really tough medical conditions, you've probably had opportunities to share your faith. And I've heard many stories of people that spoke to others who were dying of cancer, and people were like, why are you at peace? It's a perfect opportunity. Hey, maybe the Lord's letting me go through this, that this person might hear the gospel. I think that we, like I said, I think we forget that our trials are not always for ourselves, but the people around us. And I think we forget that in every situation that we're in, that Jesus wants to use us, that he wants to reach out to others. So don't miss out on opportunities that God puts before you. The entire world is watching the so-called Christians and what we do and how we act and the way we respond to things. Your life, your actions, your attitudes are all a reflection of God's work within your heart. And so I think we have to be careful about how we represent the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you start looking at your life with your physical eyes instead of spiritual eyes, things get real bad real fast. I know that there are times when I'm just not having the right perspective, and before I know it, I've wasted half an hour of my time worrying about something that never comes to pass. It amazes me that I don't think there's been one time in my life that the very things, everything I'm worried about, actually happened that way. So it's like, why am I even worrying about it? Because it never works out that way. So we have to have a heavenly perspective. No matter what life throws at us, we have to have that right perspective. Look at verse 9. It says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. And I think this is a pretty powerful statement that Paul makes here. Whether we're absent from the Lord or we're present with the Lord, it's the same attitude. We want to be pleasing to him. If you're a believer in Jesus, you should have an overwhelming desire in your heart to please God, to honor him in everything you say and do. His Spirit compels us to want to please him. That's part of it. When the Spirit moves into your life, you start to want to please the Lord. I know that I am far from being completed. I make a lot of mistakes. I'm not perfect, and I never will be in this world. There are certain attitudes in my life that are not right. I have struggles that I don't always win. I don't always treat my daughter the way I should. I don't always treat my wife the way that I should. But I know deep down in my heart, when I commit those errors, there's a desire that I says, man, I just want to please the Lord. I don't want to do these things. So being pleasing to the Lord should be like number one in our lives. It should just be the most important thing to us. There should be a huge respect for what Jesus accomplished for us. Now that you've been forgiven, man, now that your sins have been wiped away and you've been given this guarantee of the Spirit and you have eternity waiting for you, man, I should want to please God. Man, he's delivered me from so much. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So in this portion of Scripture, Paul was specifically speaking about sexual immorality, but it certainly applies to every aspect of our lives. We do not belong to ourselves. We were purchased with the precious blood of Jesus, not with bulls and rams, not with silver and gold, but with blood. Jesus shed his blood for us. So we should we've participated in God's goodness and his mercy, and so we should respond to him. You know, the Bible says that God first loved us. And as you discover how much God loves you and how much he wants to work in your life, it's just a natural response that says, hey, I want to bless the Lord. And it's kind of, you know, in the natural world, it's like that too. If somebody blesses you, if your boss at work goes out of the way to give you a day off, my boss does that all the time. She's great. But when she goes out of the way, when I come into work the next day, I'm like, hey, I want to work hard. You know, this person has helped me out. And that's how it should be with the Lord. It should be the same response, that we recognize how much he's done in our lives and we respond to that. To willfully live a life of sin and disobedience is disrespectful to what the Lord has done for us. There's really just no excuse in our lives to just continue on in sin. It's just not possible. The Lord wants to change us. He desires us to live for Him. He's given us all of the necessary tools. We just have to take advantage of it. And it is a struggle. It's not, like I said, I haven't arrived. I fight every single day. Every day I have to take my thoughts captive. Every day I have to, you know, keep myself in line and be disciplined and not sway to the right or the left. Every day I have to get up and get in the Word, because I know if I'm not in the Word, it's just a mess. Like, I think there was a vacation day, like, maybe a year ago or something, and I just didn't have the time one day to get into the Word. And by the end of the day, I was like, man, my attitude stinks. I don't have the right frame of mind. And you can just tell a difference when you're not focused on the Lord and living for what is right. So Paul said, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Look at verse 10, our last verse. It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So as we close today, it's important to keep in mind that one day we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not the same judgment that unbelievers will one day face. But you and I will be held accountable for our actions, our attitudes, the use of our time and resources while on earth. I've heard it said that though all of us who have faith in Jesus will enter heaven, I've heard it said that though we all enter heaven by our faith in Jesus and our faith in Jesus alone, we each will enjoy heaven in varying degrees. So those that invested much in the kingdom while on earth, there will be much reward to be gained. The glory we receive is not going to be for ourselves. There's not going to be anybody in heaven saying, hey, look at me, guys. Look how great I did. Look how much time I invested. Now, when we get those crowns, those rewards, we're going to take them and we're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus and fall down and worship Him. And that's going to be an awesome day. What we do here on this earth is not for us. It's not for our glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15 says this, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So as we kind of start to wrap things up, how are you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life today? If you honestly just stopped for a half an hour and evaluated your life and the things that you invest your time, your resources, abilities, and money into, what would be the results? And beyond that, what would Jesus say about what you did with your time, resources, efforts, money? One day, our true attitudes, our true actions, everything about us will be revealed. And I heard a teaching a few weeks ago about this passage, and the pastor made an interesting statement. He said that wood, hay, and stubble are really easy to find. They're all over the surface of this world. You can walk by and pick up a stick any day you want to. You don't really have to work for it that hard. But gold, silver, and precious stones, they have to be worked for. In the Dominican Republic, they have this special stone that's called a Larimar stone, and it's like a blue stone. It's really pretty, but it's one of the, I think it's the only place you can find it in the world, is in our little area. And these guys risk their lives to go down into these mines. And I haven't seen the mines, but I know what the rules and regulations are, and I can only imagine that they've got these caves and things they've dug propped up with sticks and stuff. It can't be very technologically advanced, but these guys work really hard to get those precious stones out of the ground, and some people lose their lives doing it. So we have to work for those things that are precious. We have to dig deep in our faith to find them. But those things that are truly valuable, when the hard times come, they're going to endure. Wood, hay, and stubble are going to fall. They're going to, you know, they're not going to last. The things that last into eternity are not the easiest to earn. You have to work. You have to be disciplined. You have to spend time in the presence of Jesus and seek for him with your whole heart. And I'm not in any way standing up here saying, do this in your own strength. It's not our own strength that we can do these things. It's through Jesus. It's through his work in our hearts. It's through the Holy Spirit that we can do this. So as we close today, it's my hope and prayer that we can be encouraged to continue on in our faith, to continue on in our walk with Jesus, to look for every opportunity that he might give us to grow in our faith, to remember that eternity awaits us and that Jesus is waiting for us. And Jesus is rooting for us. He's our biggest fan. Like, he wants us to have so much victory in our lives and so many good things in our lives, and he has that perfect place waiting for us. Jesus is on our side. I think sometimes we get a mentality that God doesn't love us or God doesn't want us to succeed, but he does. Yes, we face trials and difficulties, but God wants to give us strength through those things. As we live life on this earth, as we invest for eternity, like I said before, we don't do it for our own glory. That is not why Paul lived the way that he did. He did it for the glory of Jesus. I believe that Paul lived his life with the following attitude that Jesus spoke of in Luke chapter 17, verse 10. The word says this, "Likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, you should say, 'We're unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" So we live for Jesus. We give our all for Jesus because of what he has done for us. He first loved us, and as we live in that love, it's a natural response to love him back and to live for him. So as we finish today, Alex is going to come up and lead us in a couple of songs. I'm done a little bit early, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather be early than late, I said. So, but, you know, I just want to encourage you guys. You know, I know we're all in different places in life, and I just want to encourage you to respond to what the Holy Spirit might be speaking to your heart about things. And if you need prayer or anything when we're finished, Alex will be up here. I can be up here to pray with you too, or any of the elders might come up too to help with that. And, you know, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, if you want to join in on the fun, we would love to pray with you if you want to accept the Lord. And so I just encourage you, if you'd like to do that, you can either come up during the songs if you would like prayer, and we can sing together, and afterwards we'll pray. And you know, if I'm an introvert, so I get it. If it's too much to come up during the songs, it's okay. You can come up afterwards. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you. So let me kind of pray for us, and Alex will come on up, and then we'll kind of go from there. So, Lord, we're so thankful for our time together. Lord, we're thankful for the encouragement of your word, and Lord, for how you want to work in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray for all of us that we would have that eternal mind, Lord, that we would be focused on our eternity with you, that, Lord, we would be focused on how we can serve you, Lord, and that we would respond in every way that you want to work in our hearts, Lord. And I just pray for each person here, Lord, you know where all of us are in life, and you know our attitudes and our actions and our beliefs, Lord, and you know where we stand with you. And so I pray, Lord, that your spirit would just do a little inventory in our hearts, Lord, and that you could just have authority to address the things you would like to in our lives. And Lord, again, we just thank you so much for what you accomplished for us. Thank you that we have eternity to be with you, Lord. And so we just rejoice in you and thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.